was a cold day. It was a cold day in Kansas City, and I had gone up to visit my friend Gary, who is a Church of Christ pastor up in Kansas City. And Gary and I saw eye to eye on some things and not so eye to eye on some other things. And one of the problems that he and I had was the subject of Christian baptism. You see, Gary, being a Church of Christ pastor, believes that it's important for baptism to occur by full bodily immersion and by a believer. That the person who is baptized should understand what they're doing, be capable to assent to faith in Jesus, and then be completely, fully, bodily immersed and brought out of the water. That was what Gary believed. And so Gary had some concerns about my eternal soul. Because, you see, I was a Methodist. And to add insult to injury, I was baptized as a little bitty baby, and not even by immersion, but by sprinkling. And he just didn't consider that real baptism. I remember asking him one day, you know, is your problem, you know, immersion, really? And he said, well, that's only half of it. And I says, okay, well, if I get in up to my knees, is that enough? No, no. If I get into my waist, is that enough? No, no. If I get into my neck, is that enough? No, no, he said. So in other words, it has to go all the way over the top of the head, right? And he says, yes, you have to go all the way over the top of the head. And I said, that means that the top of the head's the only part that really matters. And he said, well, if that were the case, he said, it'd still matter because you were a little baby. It was a cold day, and we had gone shopping. I had gone up to visit him, and we'd gone shopping at one of the best, largest, most expansive used Christian bookstores in the entire country. And I was just excited over what I had found. I'd found several books on baptism that I'd been looking for a very long time. And so over lunch over some really expensive and extremely fattening Kansas City barbecue, we had talked about our theology of baptism, and it ended up becoming, of course, an argument over, you know, the pulled pork sandwich and whatever it was. It was a funny argument. Anyway, afterwards, we decided to get a little bit of exercise. Ha, 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 ha. So we went out into a park, and we were walking along as we continued our conversation over baptism, what it meant to be baptized, who should be baptized, who should not be baptized, how you should baptize, and its essential meaning. And I noticed that I had developed an untied shoelace. And so I stopped and happened to be standing in front of a nice big fountain. It was maybe knee-deep water, and there was coins in it. People asked, you know, wishes and whatnot. And as I stood there, I leaned down to tie my shoelace, and I said, besides, Gary, I've already been baptized, and I believe in one Lord and one faith. And as I finished tying my shoelace and stood up, Gary reached out and pushed me. One baptism. Splash. And that water was cold. Believe it or not, Gary and I are still friends. Hear that, Gary? I don't remember my baptism mentally. I was there, but I don't remember it. I was baptized by Dr. Ira Galloway at Walnut Hill United Methodist Church. And I had never met Ira in my living memory until the last general conference. And went up to the general conference and saw him and went over to him and introduced myself to him and told him who I was and where I was from and that he had baptized me. And he looked at me and he said, oh, I remember you. I said, wait a minute now, it's been 36 years. How could you possibly remember me? He says, oh, I remember you very well. You're the one, and I'm going to tell you, there were several bishops standing around and several other clergy, including several other clergy from the North Texas Conference. My peers were standing there. And he proceeded to tell the story. I remember you. You were the one who, when I picked up to show to the congregation, you relieved yourself all over my robe. Got to remember careful when you think about what you remember in your baptisms, Teddy. At least that wasn't little pink roses. Baptism. What is it? Is it just some ritual that we do that has no intrinsic meaning to it? Is it simply a nice way of naming a child, as it is in some communities of faith? Is it something that can be taken or left? Or is it something important enough that we as the body of Christ, as the people of God, have set it aside as being critically important to call it one of two sacraments? What is baptism? The word to baptize, here's your Greek lesson. The word to baptize, baptizo, means to plunge into, to submerge into, and leave there. It's not dip, it's sink. We are plunged into Christ Jesus in our baptisms. We are placed within the body of Christ, within our Lord and Savior, within the grace of God, within His death and resurrection, within His real presence, within all that it means to be a Christian. We are placed within, never to be removed. So, to truly baptize someone and make the image complete, if our Baptist and Church of Christ friends are correct, to make the image complete, we ought to just put them in the water and keep them there. Well, we call that drowning, don't we? Baptism is about being plunged into Christ, about being plunged into the community of faith, about being placed within the grace of God where we stay, where we are shepherded and guided and protected. That's one of the aspects of baptism. Baptism is also about the remission of sins, the external proclamation of the church that God in Christ Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and that even those who have not yet made a profession of faith, they themselves, Christ has forgiven. It is a proclamation of what is known as prevenient grace, the grace that goes before us, prevenient, before going, before prevenient going. God's grace goes before us, preparing the way for us, forgiving us, transforming us, sharing with us the presence of God. Baptism is a proclamation, an outward and visible sign of that which God has done internally for all. But I claim you to be mine. That's why we baptize babies. Because no matter if you're an infant or an adult, you never baptize yourself. You are always baptized by someone else in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You are baptized by someone else into Christ Jesus. Be ye adult, youth, or infant. It is something that is done to us and for us by God through the family of faith. It also has an impact on who and what we are. Last time I needed help with a visual aid, I used some of these people right here, some of the youth. I want to use some of the other youth of the church. Ladies, would you please stand? And come over here, and I want you to stand in a straight line. Yeah, you can get your pecking order together if you want. In a straight line. Here we go. Now, turn around and face me. Yeah, straighten it up. Now, they're in a straight line, aren't they? Pretty much. Good enough for government work, all right? Now, I'm going to move you over to here. Now, are they in a straight line now? No. I'm going to move you to here. Are they in a straight line now? Kind of, but they're not in a straight line with me. They're veering off course. That actually illustrates very well what most of us end up doing. Now turn and face your brothers and sisters. Now, line up straight. Good enough. They have been justified. When Jesus, you need to stand there for just a moment longer, I'm not done with you yet. When Jesus responded to John the Baptist and has said, it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. That word righteousness in Greek means justification. It means to justify, to line up. Literally, the word means to line up with. It is important for to fulfill all lining up. I like to think about justification, the theological idea of justification, as when you're working with a word processor and you've got your margins, you can either center something or you can justify the margins to the left side like we normally do, or to the right side, or both sides can be justified. And when you do that, you've got a nice straight line of letters, not all a jagged edge. I like to think of justification in that way. We become justified by God when we line up with the rule that God has set for us. We become justified when God lines us up with the rule that we have in Jesus. The problem is, sometimes we get unjustified. We yank ourselves out of justification. We yank ourselves out of alignment. We throw ourselves into disarray. And when we do that, we truly cannot continue in faith. We truly cannot do God's will. We truly cannot be God's representative when we're nothing but a jagged edge, not in alignment with God. God, in Jesus Christ, when we are plunged into Him, God takes our jagged edges and lines us back up. And that's the good news about baptism. It is God's grace realigning our lives. Thank you, ladies. I think they ought to get an Academy Award. Justification. Or another possible word to make up words in English. I love doing that. Righteousification. To be made righteous simply means, I mean, we think of people who are, you know, holier than that. No, that's not righteousness. Righteousness is being lined up with God. A life that is lined up with God's will for us is a life that is righteous, a life that is plunged into God, a life that is the baptized life. I want you to think with me here today. Where in your life are the margins jagged? Where in your life are the left and right margins of your existence just all over the page? Where in your life are the margins of your existence out of whack with what you know God wants them to be? I can think of many ways in which lives can be thrown out of whack. I can think of many ways in which the circumstances of living yank us out of justification, yank us out of our alignment with God. Where in our living, Where in your living today have you been yanked out of alignment with God? What bump has thrown your alignment all to whack? What difficulty, what temptation, what fear, what pain, what anguish has literally ripped your alignment to shreds? Today, as we remember our baptisms, you are invited to ask God to realign you with the rule that God has for you. To realign your margins, the margins of your existence. To recenter you with God's will for you. I don't know what God's will may be for you. That's between you and God. But I invite you in this remembrance of baptism today to ask God to realign you, to reconfigure your alignment so that you will be lined up with God. My friends, as you remember your baptism, give thanks and praise for all the many wonderful signs and remembrances of the real presence of God with you that align us and steady us and see us safely through this life and into the next, and accept the alignment with Christ Jesus that is offered to us today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. Acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? The Lord be with you. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothed us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. Remember your baptisms.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.